Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away from the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let's pray. Father, many years ago, you fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Many of them had different hungers. Many of them had different wants. Many of them had different needs. And yet you fed them, and they were satisfied. This morning, Father, would you come and feed your people that have different needs and different desires? We ask that you would do this in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Eric Batty. I serve as one of the elders here at LEFC. Pastor Dan's on sabbatical, and each of the elders are getting an opportunity to preach, and today is my shot at it. So within your bulletins, you'll see I have an outline for you in order to help you with the train of thought. So we'll just dive right into the message. The title of my message this morning is, Don't Waste Your Bible Reading. In the dry seasons of my walk with the Lord, I pray this psalm, Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies. You know, 9 out of 10 people say they own a Bible. In fact, most households have 4 Bibles. If you Google Bible reading plan, you'll see all sorts of varieties and styles for you to enjoy going through the Bible. Yet in Christian surveys, the number one reason people express that they struggle with reading God's word is that they're too busy. Today, I want to move beyond the statistics and get to the heart of why we waste our Bible reading. We waste something when we basically don't use it the way it was intended to be used. So diving into our outline, first of all, reason why we waste our Bible reading. And Jesus reveals the heart of the matter on, of all days, the day he rises from the dead. It was a day in which Jesus rose from the dead, and 2 men were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about what was happening that morning, and they were talking about the last few days, and they basically were having a biblical conversation. And then Jesus appears to them, but he doesn't reveal who he is. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And they said, are you the only person who don't know what's going on? He said, Jesus died. And then it's been 3 days, and we thought he was the Redeemer of Israel. We're not sure what to mean of all this. And Jesus says something in Luke 24 that reveals not only their heart, but our heart. As they're having this Bible study, he says this. Jesus said, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is saying, we are foolish and we're slow to believe. And you say to yourself, well, slow to believe what? Slow to believe what we profess. If you've been coming to LEFC for any length of time, you realize that we say it like this, that people don't live what they profess, but they live what they believe. So the question underneath this answer is, why are we slow to believe? Why are we slow to believe? I'll give you an answer. I think we're slow to believe because we struggle with this value. We struggle with this value that says the Word of God is absolute truth. We struggle with what I call the ABCs of God. A, the authority of Scripture. We struggle when we realize that God is speaking to the Christian and saying, submit, obey. B, biblical inerrancy. We struggle with the biblical inerrancy of Scripture to realize that what God is saying is right. We struggle with C, the clarity of Scripture. Does the Bible really mean what it says? And then S, we struggle with the sufficiency of Scripture. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But basically, we struggle with, is the Bible truly enough? So we're to guard against ourselves being fools and slow to believe. There's not one of us in this room that has lived the Christian life so perfect that we have professed what we believe and live it out on a day-to-day basis. We're not quick to submit and be humbled by these words. We're not empowered and passionate for the Lord and our love. We sin in being slow to believe. And it shows in how we live. So why do we waste our Bible reading? Because we're slow to believe. Point number two, revealing ways we waste our Bible reading. Now, this is the portion of the message where I begin to meddle, where it gets a little messy, because all of a sudden, you know how preachers sometimes go forward and they say, you know, they say something that just hits too close to home. You say, why do they do that? I'll tell you why they do that. Because there are blind spots in our lives that we all have that we need to make sure that are addressed. The Bible also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And this morning, I'm your friend. I'm coming to you with concern that you don't waste your Bible reading, that you don't go before the Lord one day and say, Lord, look at all these books. Look at how many times I've read your word through day in and day out, year after year after year. Lord, look at all these theological things I've read. And the Lord would say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. I come with that concern this morning as a friend. You know, I stepped over all my toes on these. So I'm going to be stepping over toes here, but just allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you. Top 10 reasons why. Number one, we don't open the Word of God. We don't open the Word of God itself. And you're saying, well, that seems kind of odd. How can I waste my Bible reading if I don't read it? And this morning I talk not to the person who is in a dry time. I'm not talking to the one who's going through a few days of, it's just hard to open the Word of God. No, this morning, I'm talking to the person who comes on Sunday morning, reads the Scripture, hears the Word of God as you're sitting here, and then goes home throughout the week, and there's no inkling at all to crack open the Bible. Look with me at 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. A person who is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone, is one who was once dead in their sin, and then forgiven, and then brought alive to new birth, and through that new birth has new desires, has a new love for God, has a new love to worship Him, has a new love for His Word. If you find the commands of Scripture and the habit of Bible reading burdensome, that you've never opened it up throughout the week, and it just sits on the shelf gathering dust, this may indicate either there is an undetected cancer in your spiritual life that you need to repent of, that you need to pray, Lord, incline my heart to your word and not to selfish gain. Or it may be indicating that you need to take a spiritual pulse of your relationship with God. Well, are you saying that I'm not a Christian if I don't read my Bible? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying such a lack of a loving habit as reading God's word, and as someone who claims that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior, that you've trusted him for both this life and eternity, it should cause you to pause and reflect on the reality of your relationship with Jesus. One of the hard meddling truths in this one is the very fact that you can have goals that are so out of sync with the Bible that you might find the Bible boring and commands burdensome. If the desire for God's word is waning as never existed, you are wasting your Bible reading here on Sunday morning. And the Lord is at this moment lovingly calling you to come back, read his word, and to put your trust in him to forgive you and to make you spiritually alive, to give you those desires of your heart. So that's number 10. Remember, we don't open it, we rely on Sunday, and that's it. Moving on. Number 9, we don't engage in studying it on any level. What this is simply we read the scriptures in the morning, we close it, check off our list, and then move about our day. You neither think hermeneutically about it nor meditatively. You don't think how to apply it to your day. We don't read it. It is a waste if a Christian does not open the word of God and seek the truth of the Lord, to esteem the wisdom of God, to see the beauty of God. All those things are found in Scripture. It is a waste if we don't savor the goodness of God, believe in the promises of God, obey the word of God. Those are all found within Scripture. It's a waste. So we waste our Bible reading if we don't engage it on any level of study. Number 8, we just audit a Bible study. Now, this one's just a quick one, but for many of you, you've been in Bible studies all your life, right? You've gone week after week, year after year, and you enjoy the conversation. And not only do you enjoy it, but you enjoy wrestling with the text and the truths. But my question is, are you letting it mold your heart? Are you allowing it to touch here? Or is it just a relational thing? You come for the fellowship. You come for the academic part of it. But is it having a spiritual impact on your life? So number 8, we waste our Bible reading if all we do is audit a Bible study. Number 7, we limit our studying to one book or one topic. Are you rereading parts of Scripture over and over again? That part of the Bible is a little well-worn. I know people who love the book of Revelation and love talking about the end times as much as I know people who love to talk about systematic theology and the Pauline letters. But they stay there and they limit their exposure. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete equipped for every good work. I mean, I agree. When was the last time you went to Obadiah for your encouragement? I see one hand. When was the last time you went to Jude for your daily encouragement? It's something that we don't normally think of. But yet that is God's word to speak to us and encourage us as well. Don't substitute your Facebook inspirational quote of the day for your Bible reading. One thing that social media has proven to us is that we do have time to read. That's one thing that's proven from Twitter and from Facebook is that we have time to what we prioritize. So we waste our Bible reading when we limit our reading to one book or topic. Number six, we don't return to what we learn. Proverbs chapter 8 says it like this. Proverbs 8, this is wisdom speaking here, and it says this. The Lord possessed me, wisdom, at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its field, or the first of the dust of the world. So basically wisdom is at the beginning of the creation of this life. God has created all of life for his glory and for his good. And there's a call to us to return to wisdom. Later on in verse 32, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. So the God of creation, who transcends all of our knowledge, knows how this life should live, knows how this life is set up, and we should go back to wisdom. But we waste our Bible reading when we don't go back and learn what we've already learned. Speaking of Bible studies, when was the last time you looked at an old study and started paging through what the Lord did in your life 5 years ago? Have you opened up your old Bibles and saw where maybe you underlined something? You just haven't had that Bible out because it's old version, or maybe it's just used too much. When was the last time you opened that book up and said, you know what? I remember when the Lord was doing something there in my heart, and this is what it was. When was the last time you looked at a journal and saw what the Lord did and gave you wisdom 5, 10 years ago? Were you challenged last week when John came and gave us the quote from D.A. Carson that said, mastering God's word is one thing by being mastered by it, but being mastered by it is something else. Did that kind of touch your heart? You realize, am I letting the word of God master me? In fact, this passage says, those who fail to go after it, fail to find me, injures himself. All who hates me, that's wisdom, they love death. You know, the concern I have for an upcoming generation and what I see with the 20-somethings is that a lot of them understand that the older generation have wisdom. And that the older generation says, we want to impart this to you. But the younger generation says this. They say, we understand you have wisdom, but we want to fail on our own. That concerns me, that they're not listening to wisdom. It concerns me when I see it in any believer. So we fail to return back to what we learned. Number five, we fail to remember what it says. We fail to remember what God's word says. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God told Israel, remember what I did in saving you. Remember your redemption. So the church is also to remember their redemption, their deliverance from sin. Today we call it preaching the gospel to ourselves. Many Christians know what the gospel professes, but fail to remember the hope and the strength and the promises in their time of need. You know, the number one person you listen to is yourself. Make sure that you are speaking to yourself word of God moments. Like King David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Make sure you do hide this in your heart so that in those times you remember it. You remember God's redeeming power to help you obey in the time of temptation. Remember your former condition so that you can be compassionate to people who sin, because you've sinned too, and that you're not going to be self-righteous about it. remember your sin in order to remember God's forgiveness and how wonderfully amazing it is. Remember your position in Christ is because of Christ and not of yourself. We waste our Bible reading when we fail to remember what it says. Number four, we fail to quote it in our witnessing and in our ministry to the body of one another. I remember this point being driven home a few years ago. Melanie and I attended First Free. Pastor David Holt got up and he gave a story about how he was talking with his kids and they were asking him questions and they noticed that he was, "Dad, what do you think about this?" And he would quote the scripture. "And Dad, what do you think about that?" And he would say, "Well, the Bible says," and they'd be having this conversation, and one day one of the kids said to him, they said, "Dad, why do you always quote scripture whenever we ask you your opinion or about something that's you know, about life?" And he says, "Because my opinion isn't as important as God's word." I have to admit, the longer I'm a parent, the more and more I realize I need to point my kids no longer to my opinion, but to the word of the Lord. A lot of ministry to the family of God is that they would be encouraged by God's word. We are to quote and encourage the discouraged today. We're to quote and bring wisdom to those who need direction from God's word. What does the Lord say? And we waste our Bible reading if we fail to use it in our witnessing. You know, we will have all the philosophical and apologetic moments that we can maybe befuddle the world or try to impress the world, but their hearts will not be changed unless the word of the Lord goes into their heart and causes them to become born again. How much are you praying when you witness? How much are you using God's word? Use God's word, quote it, to defend God. Quote the scripture. Don't be afraid to put aside the apologetics and say, "Well, God's word says it, and I believe it." Sometimes that's a testimony that's greater than the greatest minds can think of. So we waste our Bible reading when we don't talk about it to others. Number three, we don't believe it is sufficient. I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it like this. We waste our Bible reading when we get into our devotional time and we treat it like an appetizer to the devotional book to the right. You have your Bible here, you read the scripture, put it down, and then you have a big devotional that you've been enjoying over the years. Don't waste the Bible reading by thinking that the Bible itself, the Word of God itself, is not sufficient enough. I need to have this person's writing. And while there are many good devotionals out there, realize we're to feed upon this Word. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church. He was also the chairman of the Council on Biblical Inerrancy. And he said this. He said, I want to say here, however, that important as I believe the matter of inerrancy is, and I do believe it, I believe churches will flounder and die if this is forgotten. Important as this is, biblical inerrancy, I do not think it's the most important critical issue facing the church. He says, the issue I would pinpoint today is the sufficiency of the Word of God. I would ask the questions, do we really believe that God has given us what we need in this book? Or do we think we have to supplement the Bible with other man-made things? Do we believe that the Bible's teaching is adequate to change the hearts of men? So we waste our Bible reading if we don't believe in its sufficiency alone. We will waste our Bible reading if we don't believe in the power of God alone to go into the hearts of our fellow believers and bring healing and encouragement. Psalm 19:7-9 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How many of you guys want to have a rejoicing heart, a revived soul? The word of the Lord is sufficient. We will waste our Bible reading if we don't believe it is. Number two, we will waste our Bible reading by being hearers only and not doers. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We waste our Bible reading if we don't apply it to our life. And many of you know this one. Many of you were kind of waiting for this part of the sermon because you understand we're to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And that's how we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves to think that if we just listen and talk and have conversations about the word, that it's the same thing as doing the word of God. You know, we understand our sin in this, right? We understand that God is telling us to be doers of his word. We don't want to be the man that looks into a mirror and forgets what we look like. Yet, it is not the last thing that we waste our Bible reading on. Look with me at number one. You see, you can be applying all the moral commands and spiritually be disciplined in your life, and yet there's one more way we waste our Bible reading. We need to see the do's and the do nots in light of who God has revealed himself. He has revealed himself as the Almighty God. He's revealed himself through Jesus Christ to say, here I am. Not just Bible verses, but the Bible revelation of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Number one, we just grow in knowledge and not in love. And what I mean is the love of our Savior. God is not so much the object of our study as much as he should be the cause of our wonder. Matthew 22 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. John Piper says it like this: the Bible is relevant for the life and work of any man, but really it comes down to this. Does he want to see the greatest treasure in the universe? Does he desire to know Jesus and enjoy Jesus more than anything? Does he love people so much that he grieves over the fact that they don't know Jesus and will be lost together with forever without him? That is the question. If Jesus is supreme in this person's life, if the passion is to know him above all, if the passion is to desire him and enjoy him and treasure him more than anything, if the passion is to bring many people with you as you can into that experience, then you can't live without the Bible. It is the most relevant book in the world. End of quote. At the retreat the elders had back in December, this was the challenge for our congregation. That we may have head knowledge, but does it become heart knowledge? That we love the Lord. The greater knowledge we have, does it increase our worship and loving of Jesus? And does it allow our feet to be propelled to obey his word out of that love, out of that grace? Do we love Jesus more because we know more? That was the question. That was the challenge. And it's a challenge for us here at LAFC. We're not just to grow smarter, but do we grow softer to one another in love? Do we grow softer to the Lord in our heart? To love the Lord your God with all of our being and our neighbors as ourselves. So in this outline that I have here, we had, first of all, the reason why we waste our Bible study. And then number two, we revealed some ways, top 10 ways that the Bible reading is wasted. And so you and I are now at that point where we say, I failed in this. I can't say I do maybe two of these, or even maybe one. I have failed. What's my response? What is my response when I realize that my love for Jesus is at the same place it was 15 years ago? Look with me at point number three. This is how you respond. Remember and repent when we waste our Bible reading. You need to remember the reason why God gave us the Bible. We will not waste something when we know the purpose of it. God gives us the Bible to reveal himself, so that our redeemed lives then can praise him for his adoption, praise him for the forgiveness, to praise him for loving us. And in turn, we hear the Spirit speak, and we will do the Father's will, and we'll grow in love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength with Jesus. We need to remember God has given the Bible to us in order to reveal himself through the person of Jesus Christ. Not just truths, not just advice, but a person. And when we are revealed, Jesus, our hearts are called to respond to that revealing. It's to respond to the love and the hope and the salvation and the conviction that is found only in a relationship with him. And we are to respond to this revealing day after day after day when we open the word regularly. When the Bible calls out, it says, behold your God, behold your creator, behold your savior, behold the one right next to you. So take heart if you failed in this and repent. You might be saying, repent? I'm a Christian. What do you mean repent, Eric? I mean for you Christian brothers and sisters, turn away from the meaningless readings and be in the habits of graciously encountering Jesus Christ all over again. There are three motivations for us to repent. First, you should repent because the mercy of God's forgiveness is amazing. Remember the amazing grace that we experience, the forgiveness of the Lord and the adoption of being his son and daughter. Number two, we should repent because of his redeeming power is available to us. He redeems the years that you have wasted your Bible reading, and he empowers it for the future so you have purpose in the coming years. His redeeming power renews. Number three, you should repent because you can trust his sovereign will. Up to this point in your Christian walk, God has brought you to this moment and today to realize, I've wasted some years. I've wasted some readings. But he has been sovereign enough to bring you here and to call you lovingly back. You can trust in his sovereign will. Let's pray together. Father, incline our heart to your word. Make yourself not so much the object of our study, but the cause of our wonder, the cause of our worship, and the cause of our love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.